What's up, everybody? This is Jim Mylock. Obviously, not the intro music. I have a little something at the top here. So a few things. I think most of you know at this point, I have not been in the country for a while. Right now, I am recording this from my Airbnb in Wellington, New Zealand. I got about another week here before I'm coming back to the States just in time for the Super Bowl. Perfect for my Super Bowl kind of Rushmore Hall of Fame class preview episode, which you're about to listen to. I recorded this podcast as well as the last several a while ago. I think I recorded this one right before I left, so early January. So it's been a while. I didn't know how the playoffs are going to shape off or anything, and I mentioned that quite a bit throughout the podcast. I was not planning to give this message at the top here, but I was trying to do a little editing here. I thought I could at least. And I'm realizing kind of the studio I use, the software I use to edit, it's not working properly here. I don't have my microphone. So my audio right now is bad. In the podcast, it'll be great. I recorded that earlier, but right now audio is rough, so I apologize. You're not going to have intro music or outro music as you usually do. Everything else, though, exactly the same quality that you would normally get. So I just want to apologize at the beginning here. Did not plan to record this, but just want to let you know why we're just going to jump into the intro. However, now that I have you here, the playoffs are, you know, fully played out now until the Super Bowl. We know it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs versus the San Francisco 49ers. Not that shocking. In the pod, I didn't know who was going to be there, which is why I just do a Super Bowl Rushmore. I don't really talk about the game as much. Now that I can, again, bad quality. I'm not going to spend a long time here. I think it's going to be the Chiefs. I can't believe I didn't think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs had it this year. Never bet against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. This is his sixth full season starting, Patrick Mahomes. This is his fourth Super Bowl appearance. It's nuts what he's doing. I thought it was silly, even at the end of last year when they won the Super Bowl, people started talking about, is Patrick Mahomes, you know, going to pass Brady? Is he going to be one of the best quarterbacks of all time when it's all said and done? You know, year after year, he's getting back here, and this was his off year, and he's back with not as many weapons as he had before. The defense is playing better, but I can't go against Patrick Mahomes. It's nothing against Brock Purdy. I think it's going to be a good game. I'm excited to be back in the States for it. But my prediction would be Kansas City Chiefs win. But I think it's going to be a fun game. So I'm excited. I will be back in time for the Super Bowl. I made sure of that. This pod, again, normal pod, recorded a while ago. Audio here at the top, pretty rough. Apologize. Just wanted to check in real quick. But again, thank you for listening. I apologize. My Twitter has been very inactive. I've been doing a lot of stuff in New Zealand. I was in Australia before, did a lot of stuff there. Had a ton of fun there. I will be in a few weeks when I get back to Chicago. I'm going to do a little travel log where I talk about Australia, the Australian Open, my time there. I'll talk about my time throughout New Zealand. I've loved it. Weather here is phenomenal. I got a little sunburnt today. It's not something that could happen in my native Chicago right now. But again, thank you for listening. I will be back soon. I hope everyone's staying warm. I hope everyone's enjoyed the playoffs. I have missed them quite a bit here. I've really missed the NBA. I'm behind on a lot, honestly. The one thing when I travel, sports is the one thing I lose, like not being in Chicago, just not being in the United States, you really lose track of sports, which is good. I need to take a little break, but I'm ready to get back. I'm excited to get back. Starting to be a little more active on Twitter here. I'm potting again, obviously, with this intro. I want this to be a 30-second intro. I'm now coming up on 5 minutes, so I'm going to let you carry on to the pod. So again, Super Bowl Rushmore today, as well as the 2024 Football Hall of Fame class preview. Thanks for listening. Now let's get to the intro.
Welcome What is up, everybody? This is Jim Mylock, and you're listening to Pot of Fame, the podcast where we break down the careers of former athletes and decide whether or not they should get a call to the Hall. This week is Super Bowl week. I am right now, as you're listening, I'm in New Zealand, so I'm recording this in January. It's January 11th today, so I have no idea who's in the Super Bowl or what has transpired at all, because the wild card weekend is actually coming up this weekend. But if I had to guess, because again, when I'm in New Zealand, right? I'm in the future anyway. But if I had to guess, I'm going to say Ravens made it out of the AFC, San Francisco made it out of the NFC. So we got a Baltimore, San Francisco Super Bowl. That's what my prediction is. I could be 0 for 2, 1 for 2. If I'm 2 for 2, that's not too bad. But also, those do look like the only two great teams for me. So even though I have no idea who's going to be in the Super Bowl this weekend, we do now, and we're probably all getting excited about it. But what I want to do today is two things. One, Super Bowl player Rushmore. How have I not done this yet? Who are the four players we would put on a Rushmore just for their Super Bowl performances? So we're going to build that today to celebrate Super Bowl week. And then the second thing, which should be obvious for this podcast, the modern era players, or I guess just the 2024 class in general, is being announced this week. On Thursday, the 2024 Football Hall of Fame class will be announced. There's, 15 finalists as the contemporary or, the modern era players. So five of those 15 will get selected. And then there's three veterans or senior committee people that can be elected. And then there is one coach contributor that could be elected. So we're going to go through who I'm predicting is going to be announced on Thursday for the 2024 Hall of Fame class. So we have a great podcast for you today. Again, Super Bowl Rushmore. And then we're going to get into Hall of Fame talk of who I think is going to be elected. There's a few slam dunks. And then there's some really great candidates. So it'll be very interesting to see who this 2024 class is. So that's today with the quick facts out of the way. Let's get to Super Bowl player Rushmore. All right. So Super Bowl player Rushmore. I'm not going to say that too much more. So who are the top four Super Bowl players in NFL history? So I want to make some ground rules here. If I were to just do this truly, like the four faces you think of when you think of the Super Bowl or that, represent the play in the Super Bowl the best, it'd probably be four quarterbacks, and that's not fun. That's kind of lame, not very good diversity there. So what we're going to do, my unofficial rules here that I'm making official, you have to pick kind of three different positions, so you can't pick, four quarterbacks. So we'll do three different positions and then a wild card position. So technically I can choose two quarterbacks. Spoiler alert, I'm going to choose two quarterbacks, but I'll have three different positions and then a wild card that can be any of those other positions replicated or repeated. And that will be it. That's really the only criteria here. And it's really, again, just their performance in the Super Bowl. They could be a non-Hall of Famer, just a regular player in the regular season. But if they really turn on the Super Bowl, they are eligible for this Rushmore. So again, Super Bowl player Rushmore. So the first face, this is the most obvious lock in the history of locks. It's Tom Brady. Basically, any record you can hold in the Super Bowl, he holds for at least his position, right? But even just in general. Across any NFL player in history, 10 Super Bowl appearances. That's the most ever by any player by a pretty large margin. Most Super Bowl wins. He has 7. That's easily the most. Most Super Bowl MVPs. He has 5. The next person has 3. Just across the board in terms of appearances with 10, wins with 7, Super Bowl MVPs with 5. He is not only the leader, but he might, I don't know if there's ever going to be anyone to surpass him. Now, ever is a long time, but what Tom Brady did from, he had almost too many dynasties, with Patriots in different times of his career. He played for so long. I think players will continue to play longer as modern medicine and everything else improves. But what Tom Brady did from start to finish with the combination of Belichick, and it all worked out so well. Not too bad for a 6th round draft pick. But it's Tom Brady. He is the first face we're throwing on. He's the George Washington we're throwing on there, if you think that's the biggest face on Rushmore. And again, like, not only is the appearances and wins and everything, he holds, like, the single game records, the career records. And it's not just he holds it. He's so far ahead, no one's really going to pass him. Like, career passing yards in the Super Bowl, he's number one with 3,039 Super Bowl passing yards. In second place is Kurt Warner with 1,156. So he's almost triple the person in second. If you look at career touchdown passes in the Super Bowl, he had 21. In second is Joe Montana with 11. So again, 10 more touchdowns. If you add the guy in second and third, so Montana and Terry Bradshaw in third, that's less than Brady and in first. And then, again, if we look at a single game, Tom Brady has the two highest passing yard games in Super Bowl history. He passed for 505 yards and 466. Third is Kurt Warner with 414. And Kurt Warner is the only other person to ever break 400 even. And if you look at his, again, across 10 Super Bowls, I mean, performance-wise, he throws a touchdown pass in every single Super Bowl but one. He only has one Super Bowl with over one interception. He has 5 Super Bowls with no interceptions. He gets over 300 passing yards. What? 5 times? 4 times? Sorry. Just a consistent winner. Yes, he lost 3 Super Bowls, but I don't know how anyone can hold that against him. I saw someone the other day, like, Super Bowl Rushmore could only be if you've never lost. I get where that guy's coming from who mentioned that, but I think when you're at 10, I think you can afford to go 70% there. I think I'm okay with that. So Tom Brady, Super Bowl Rushmore. If you don't have him on there, I couldn't understand where you're coming from. He's the automatic. He's going to get my quarterback spot. So I'm going to use my quarterback position. So now I can't use another quarterback position unless I use my wild card. So Tom Brady, face on Super Bowl Rushmore. So number 2, again, non-quarterback here. Big name, Jerry Rice. 4 Super Bowl appearances with the 49ers and the Raiders. 1 Super Bowl appearance with the Raiders. 3 Super Bowl rings, which were all with the 49ers. And won an MVP in the Super Bowl. Again, just like Brady, Jerry Rice almost holds every single record. You know, he has the most catches in Super Bowl history with 33. He has the most receiving yards in Super Bowl history with 589. He has the most receiving touchdowns in Super Bowl history with 8. His distance between the guys in second, catches only 4 with Gronk, actually. Gronk has 29. But receiving yards, he has over 200 more yards than the guy in second, who's also Gronk. Receiving touchdowns, 3 more than the guy in second, also Gronk. So Gronk is in the running for a Rushmore spot here. But then if you look at, like, single game records, right? Not just he played a lot of games, but single game records. Is the touchdown record is 3. Rice did that twice. A bunch have done it 2 times. The funny thing is, though, the 2 different times he had 3 touchdown catches in the Super Bowl, didn't win the MVP that year. He won the MVP the year he had a huge game in terms of yardage, when he had 215 yards in his first Super Bowl against Cincinnati in 88 with 11 catches and a touchdown. But the 2 years, he had 3 touchdown catches. And again, these are big years. Against Denver in 89, he had 7 catches for 148 yards, 3 touchdowns, did not win MVP. And then in 94 against San Diego in that blowout, he had 10 catches for 149 yards, 3 touchdowns. Also didn't win MVP, but I think Steve Young threw 6 touchdown passes, so that makes sense. So he has 1 MVP. It's that year he had 215 yards receiving, which, you guessed it, is the Super Bowl record for most yards in a game. He also has the first most yards in Super Bowl history from scrimmage. Franco Harris is next. But again, the gap there is huge. He has the most total touchdowns in Super Bowl history. So again, Jerry Rice, only 4 Super Bowls. So he didn't have 10, 4 Super Bowl appearances, not 10 like Brady, but still holds almost every record you'd want to hold from a position player, whether it be total touchdown, judged from scrimmage, all the receiving records. He's easily on this Rushmore. And then again, like the receiving yards in a single game, he has the most, but then he also has the 8th and 9th. So 3 of the top 10 highest receiving yard totals in a Super Bowl belong to Jerry Rice. And again, remember, Rice was playing, he actually played Super Bowls in 3 different decades, the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. But this was before the league got completely pass happy. It's kind of crazy he still owns those records. I think that's a testament to just how great Jerry Rice was. Now, I don't think his records are as unreachable as Brady's, but I think we're going to see Rice at the top of the record book for a very long time still. All right, so moving on to the third spot. So I can't pick a quarterback. I can't pick a wide receiver. A lot of people to pick from this third spot. A lot of great running backs. A lot of great defensive players. I ended up, and this might be controversial, but I just, maybe it's from the Super Bowls I've seen, right? I was born 89, so I've really only seen the late 90s and then, you know, the 21st century Super Bowls. But one of my first Super Bowls I really remember watching with my friends he was in, and then at the end of his career, he also won one. It's Ray Lewis, middle linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, you know, 2-time Super Bowl appearances, so made it twice with the Ravens, 2-time Super Bowl champ. He was the MVP in that first Super Bowl I remember really watching against the Giants, where that Ravens defense was just all time. They beat the Giants, just killed the Giants. It was a terrible Super Bowl to watch, really, but to beat him 34-7. As a middle linebacker, he had 5 tackles, but 4 passes defended. He was just flying all over the field, a menace. He was MVP of that Super Bowl. So, you know, that always sticks out for me, a defensive player winning MVP. It does happen. Happened for my 85 Bears. You know, Richard Dent won it. Random people will occasionally win if they have a couple picks, things like that. There's some names that aren't as big that I can't, like, I want to say the Tampa Bay Bucks. It was like Dexter Oakley. That last name seems wrong, but I think he had like 2 picks. And I never really heard from him again. He won MVP, but Ray Lewis, household name, leader of the defense, wins MVP in that first Super Bowl. They come back again at the end of his career. They win another Super Bowl against San Francisco. So this was kind of my projection for this year. But they win that 34-31. That defense isn't as dominant, but he has 7 tackles in that game. So middle linebacker, 2 appearances, 2 championships, and an MVP. I want to get a defensive player on here. So Ray Lewis is my third spot. And then finally, the wild card spot. Yes, I'm going to use this for a quarterback. I don't know how I couldn't. There was a lot of quarterbacks in contention here. I thought about Roger Staubach. I thought about even Kurt Warner. He only had 1 championship, though. Terry Bradshaw. I knew he had the 4 Super Bowl rings, the 2 Super Bowl MVPs. He was big on here. His stats, though, way better than I thought. Terry Bradshaw, 9 touchdown passes in the Super Bowl to go along with the 2 MVPs and 4 Super Bowl rings. That's big. You know, John Elway, of course, comes to mind. Steve Young had that 6 touchdown. End of the day, Bart Starr, so many quarterbacks. When you think of the Super Bowl, you think of the quarterback. If you want to make a good bet, you bet on the quarterback to win the MVP. So we're going with Joe Montana. Because before there was Tom Brady, there was Joe Montana. Now, Joe Montana does fit that the comment I heard of, oh, if you're on Super Bowl Rushmore, you can't lose a Super Bowl. Again, I don't agree with that. But Joe Montana fits that criteria. Along, Ray Lewis did too, but Joe Montana does. He was 4-for-4 in the Super Bowl. Never lost. Won 81, 84, 88, 89 seasons. And he was lights out in the Super Bowl. That's the thing. 1,142 passing yards. So again, nothing compared to Brady. 11 touchdown passes, though, and 0 interceptions. Perfect. 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Best game he ever had was against Denver in his last Super Bowl. You know, 49ers blow out Denver. He throws for 297 yards. 5 touchdown passes, again, no picks, only has 7 incompletions for the game. Low key also, Montana, 2 rushing touchdowns in the Super Bowl, 105 rushing yards. People sleep on Montana. Had some wheels in the Super Bowl. But it was just a guy, again, he has the famous drives at the end of the games to win it. He's super, in terms of like completion percentage, very high. Perfect in terms of no turnovers, which again is huge when it comes to big playoff games. His 127.8 passing rating in the Super Bowl is still the highest in Super Bowl history. That might never be touched, honestly. And again, his completion percentage was 68% for his career in the Super Bowl. That's second highest just to Troy Aikman. There's another name in there. I wouldn't throw him on Rushmore, but Troy Aikman, another great Super Bowl former. That is why Troy Aikman is in the Hall of Fame. 3 Super Bowl rings for Aikman there in Dallas. But Montana has to be on here. Joe Cool has to be on here. So I think I'm like if I'm building this Rushmore, the bookends here, we have Montana and we have Brady. It's got to be them too. And then the middle, we're putting Ray Lewis and then Montana's running mate, Jerry Rice. So 2 49ers on here. Again, I think Montana, Brady, and Jerry Rice almost have to be on any Rushmore. That fourth spot where I put Ray Lewis, I think, is where there can be debate. Franco Harris was big on there. Lynn Swann actually came up. Gronk, I said earlier, was big for me. Some other defensive players. But at the end of the day, I feel very good about this one. So again, it's Brady, Montana, and then it's Rice and Lewis. So that is Super Bowl Rushmore for now. That will obviously change over the years. And maybe I'll revisit this in down the road and see if anyone breaks in. Also, shout out to Eli Manning. I'm going to give an honorable mention, right? 2 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl MVPs, not too shabby. He didn't really have that great of a chance of breaking on here, but he was definitely, I'm going to give him an honorable mention. So with the Super Bowl Rushmore done, let's go to the 2024 Hall of Fame class. All right, so what I said at the top, right? Hall of Fame class will be announced publicly this Thursday, so it's coming up. I will not be here to record a reaction podcast, so I'm going to give you kind of my thoughts on who's going to get in. So just really quick at the top to give everyone their flowers, here are the 15 modern era nominees, the finalists. We have cornerback Eric Allen, defensive end Jared Allen, offensive tackle Willie Anderson, guard Jahari Evans, defensive end Dwight Freeney, tight end Antonio Gates, safety Rodney Harrison, punt returner, kick returner for the Chicago Bears, Devin Hester, wide receiver Torrey Holt, wide receiver Andre Johnson, defensive end Julius Peppers, running back Fred Taylor, wide receiver Reggie Wayne, linebacker Patrick Willis, and safety Darren Woodson. For all you listeners, if you want to get, you know, prepped up for this or just thinking about Hall of Fame season, we do have podcasts on a lot of these players. We have one on Jared Allen. We have one on Rodney Harrison, Devin Hester, Torrey Holt just came out a few weeks ago, Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers just came out a few weeks ago. We have a Fred Taylor episode, a Reggie Wayne episode, and a Darren Woodson episode. So we've covered a lot of these guys. So I encourage you, if you want to go listen to the full pod I've done on these players, you know, just go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, and just type in that player's name, Pod of Fame, and that episode will populate. You can listen to it. I'm not going to go through all the players, but I'm going to go through the players I think are going to get into the Hall of Fame. So from that list of 15, there's 2 locks for me. Julius Peppers, who I have a pod on, and then Antonio Gates, who I actually don't have a pod on. So Julius Peppers, go listen to the pod if you want all the details. This is a no-brainer. He was on 2 different all-decade teams that were named by the Hall of Fame. 9-time Pro Bowler, 159.5 sacks is 4th all-time. Forced fumbles, 52, that's 2nd all-time. He had 11 picks as a defensive end to go along with 6 defensive touchdowns. 175 tackles for loss, too. 4th all-time. Julius Peppers played for a long time. He was disruptive his entire career, so consistent. No-brainer. Couldn't imagine a world he does not get in this year. So Julius Peppers, an absolute lock. Nothing more to say there. Antonio Gates, also feel like this guy's got to be an automatic lock. Eight-time Pro Bowler. He was on the Hall of Fame All 2000s decade team. So he didn't make two different decades, but did make the 2000s. And his career numbers are just eye-popping for a tight end. 955 catches. That's 17th all-time among all players. Not just tight ends, all players. 11,841 receiving yards. 31st all-time amongst all players. And then this is the biggest one. This is why it's a no-brainer. 116 receiving TDs. That's 7th all-time among all players. Among tight ends, though, 3rd in catches, 3rd in receiving yards, 1st in touchdowns. Gates has, you know, he's in the running for tight end Rushmore. You know, not an ideal blocker, but he was one of these players, right? He played basketball at Kent State, came to the NFL, and just dominated. And then everyone started looking at basketball players to come be tight ends. But he was one of these, he was not the first tight end to come in and be this, like, pass catcher, like excellent pass catcher, like all the tight ends are today. But really, he kind of followed Tony Gonzalez in that mold. And Tony came, and then Antonio followed. And now we have the Travis Kelce's of the world. And he was kind of that next step after Tony Gonzalez, and didn't come that far after Tony. But Antonio Gates, 116 touchdown catches. That's more than Gronk. That's more than Gonzalez. Any tight end you could think of, that's the most. Touchdowns are important. He's a lock. So Antonio Gates, Julius Peppers, my two locks, easy. The other three, a lot of trouble, honestly. First I'm going to go with, though, is someone who's been a finalist now for several years and has been waiting to get in. It's former linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers, Patrick Willis. Willis is one of those guys who had an extremely short career, but when he played, he was the best. He retired at the age of 29. It was a shock to a lot of us. But while he played, I mean, he was a Hall of Famer. He was a not just a 7-time Pro Bowler, but a 5-time All-Pro first teamer. Okay? So he was really one of the best linebackers in the game 5 of his seasons, and he didn't play that long. If you look at NFL history, how many other people have made 5 All-Pro first teams at his position? You know who he's kind of, you know who he has the same amount of as? He has the same amount as Dick Butkus, Luke Kuechly, Zach Thomas. The only players, the only linebackers at his position that have more are Ray Lewis with 7, Mike Singletary with 7, Jack Lambert with 6, and Bobby Wagner with 6. Also, shout out to Bobby Wagner, led the NFL in tackles somehow this year. That guy is not aging, but those are the only 4 linebackers ahead of him, and those are all either in the Hall of Fame, or Bobby Wagner will be a probably first ballot Hall of Famer, I would imagine. Those are only 4 ahead, and then who he's tied with, Zach Thomas, Hall of Famer, Dick Butkus, one of the maybe 10, 15 best players in NFL history, and then Luke Kuechly, who will get in the Hall of Fame, spoiler alert. That's his company there. Again, his counting stats aren't great. You know, 950 tackles, 20.5 sacks, 8 picks. Led the leagues in tackles twice, though. He was in that Super Bowl I mentioned earlier, Ravens, 49ers. He was against Ray Lewis in the Ravens. He was kind of leading that defense for the 49ers. He had 10 tackles in that game. Patrick Willis, though, again, retired 29. He's only 30. He just turned 39 January 25th. This guy, I mean, Ray retired years after this. And now we're talking about this guy getting the Hall of Fame. He's been waiting for a while now. So I think if you were one of the best players at your position the whole time you played, and you played as long as Willis did, again, a very short career, but while he played, he was kind of the best. I think you should be in. I think this is his year. He's been waiting a bit. Next up, I'm picking one of the 3 wide receivers that are on this finalist list. It's got to be one of them at least. So it's kind of a crapshoot. We have Andre Johnson, Torrey Holt, and Reggie Wayne. I think they all have great cases. I've done the Torrey Holt, Andre Johnson, and Reggie Wayne podcast. So go listen to those if you want to know what I think about all 3. But who I think out of those will get elected this year is Andre Johnson. Now, he's been waiting the least, so that might not make the most sense to you on why I think he might get in, because I think all 3 of these guys have a great chance of getting in. But Andre Johnson's peak, to me, was just a bit higher than Reggie's and Torrey's. He led the league in catches twice, receiving yards twice. He was AP All-Pro first team twice. It's more than either Holt or Reggie Wayne. He was also AP All-Pro second team twice. If you look at Wayne and Holt in terms of them leading the league in different categories, as well as, you know, they're all pro first team selections, Andre hasn't beat on both. if you look at catches, you know, Andre Johnson is just 8 behind Reggie Wayne. If you look at receiving yards, he's just a few hundred yards behind Reggie Wayne. Touchdowns, he's actually in last, and that's the biggest thing that gives me a red flag. He had 70, Holton had 74, and Reggie Wayne 82. But I just think, you know, he's a 4-time All-Pro if you count first and second team, 7-time Pro Bowler. He didn't make the playoffs much, but when he did, he put up gaudy stats. I think any three of these can get in this year. If I had to guess, though, I think it's going to be Andre. I just think, again, at the peak, he might have been the best when he was on. He also, and this is, I don't know how I honestly feel completely about this, but you look at Torrey Holt, right? He had Kurt Warner throwing to him for a number of years. If you look at Reggie Wayne, he had Peyton Manning throwing to him. He had Marvin Harrison on the other side taking away, you know, some of the heat maybe from the top cornerbacks. Andre Johnson was on his own in Houston from a wide receiver room standpoint. And then quarterback-wise, I don't want to just shit on the Houston Texans quarterback situation, but Andre Johnson never really played with a great quarterback. I don't think that's crazy for me to say, yet he still was able to put up these numbers. If you threw him with Peyton Manning, you threw him with Kurt Warner or another big quarterback from that era, Drew Brees, I couldn't even imagine the video game numbers Andre Johnson could have put up. He did, I think, the most with what he was given. So that is actually, I think, what might play a big part for some voters. I don't know how I feel about that. I think, again, a lot of how your career goes is kind of situational luck. I definitely take note of it, but I think voters take note of that a lot. And I think Andre Johnson might get in ahead of those other two, possibly because, again, of the peak, but also they look at stuff like that. And then finally, the last one, this is really hard. There's a lot of people vying for this last spot. I think it might be Jared Allen, and it might be weird to have Peppers and Allen get in the same year, but they were playing the same time, so maybe why not patch them up and put them in? You know, Allen has some stuff on Peppers, to be honest. He doesn't have as many career sacks. He had 136.0. That's 12th all-time, but still, that's extremely high up the list. He had 32 forced fumbles, 4 safeties. That's tied for first all-time. But what Allen has over Peppers is his peak was a little better. The thing about Peppers I didn't really go into, and I go into the pod quite a bit when I tackle the Peppers candidacy. Peppers was so consistent every single year, but he didn't really have a peak. His peak was like every year, but like he didn't have that like 18 sack season. He never had over 15 sacks in a season, where Allen did have those peak seasons. He led the league in sacks twice. Peppers never led the league in sacks. Allen had that 22 sack season in 2011. Again, Peppers never passed 15. And Allen was actually a 5-time AP All-Pro first teamer, where Peppers only made 3. And then Allen finished runner up for Defensive Player of the Year 1 year. Peppers never finished higher than 4th in Defensive Player of the Year. So Allen, again, I would pick Peppers over Allen in a heartbeat. Allen's been waiting a bit to get in. But Allen does have that peak over Peppers. He has a Hall of Fame career in terms of totality of his career. So I think he deserves to get in, and I think he will get in this year. And again, he's probably the biggest one, like I'm not feeling the greatest about, but I think he could get in this year with Peppers. I think him and Peppers getting together could be kind of fun. And then finally, for the senior committee, there's 3 players and then 1 coach contributor. The 3 players for the senior committee, these are any players that last season was 1998 or earlier. Randy Grishier, great Orange Crush defense of the Denver Broncos. He's been waiting a very long time. He's finally a finalist from the senior committee. Steve McMichael, former Bear, who is battling a very, you know, he's been fighting ALS for quite some time now. I think was overlooked for years. So he's a finalist by the senior committee. And then Art Powell is a finalist for the senior committee as well. And then coach contributor-wise, Buddy Parker, the Lions coach from the 50s, won 2 NFL championships. It wasn't even a Super Bowl yet, but NFL championships with the Lions, over 100 wins. He is up. The senior committee usually, for the most part, is going to elect everybody. These players all need 80% of the vote to get in. So there's 50 voters, 80% of the vote to get in. I hope they all get in. Again, there's a long backlog to the senior committees to get into the Football Hall of Fame. There is so many of them. And I just feel like if they get this far, they're going to get that 80% of the vote. Who do I think should get in? I think they all should get in. Vote them all in. They made it this far. I'm all in, especially Steve McMichael, just because, unfortunately, we don't know how much longer he has with us. It would be awesome for him to know that he was getting into the Hall of Fame. So that's it. That's kind of who I think. I think it's going to be those five modern era players. And then again, these senior committee, I think all four will get in. And again, they do require 80% of the vote to get into the Hall of Fame. So again, you will know on Thursday. That is when it will be announced. And we'll have to check it out. And again, I won't really be able to come back on Monday to talk about it, but these are my guesses. You can check how good I do. We can grade me later. I'll talk about it once I start recording these, you know, actually around the time of when things are happening again. To that note, I am going to be in the U.S. by the Super Bowl. So I will actually be back. I just won't be in Chicago where I will be able to record. I'm actually flying to meet with some friends in Jacksonville, Florida. No, the Super Bowl is not in Jacksonville, but I have friends in Jacksonville. Been meaning to get down there for a while. It is also warmer there than Chicago. So I'm actually flying right from New Zealand to Jacksonville. Going to watch Super Bowl there. We have a bunch of friends flying in. My wife's flying down. Going to watch it there. And then I'll be back. And then I will be back to be able to record podcasts in a timely fashion. So this is, I guess, the last, one of the last pods that is pre kind of recorded. The one that will drop next Monday will also have been recorded before I've left on my trip. But after that, everything again is going to be a lot more timely. I'll be able to talk about things going on in sports, and then Hall of Fame Market Watch will come back. So I'm almost back. Trip's almost over. I'm probably a little sad, but I'm also probably a little homesick, ready to get back to Chicago, even though the weather where I'm at is probably a lot better than the weather in most of the United States right now. But that is all we have for the podcast today. That's our Super Bowl player, Rushmore. That is our, kind of projections for the 2024 Hall of Fame class. If you don't already, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, where you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Pod of Fame. If you've done all that, you have done your homework. We will talk to you next Monday. Have a great week. I hope you enjoy the Super Bowl. I hope it's a good game. Again, I'll be watching. I'll be back stateside to watch. So I hope it's a good game, and we will talk to you on Monday. Take care.